So we're in Psalm 71 to begin with tonight. Psalm 71, and I want to start with verses 17 and 18. Verse 17, O God, Thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared Thy wondrous works. Now also when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not, until I have showed Thy strength unto this generation, and Thy power to every one that is to come. So you see here the psalmist's heart for passing down the things that he's been taught. And he's been taught from his youth. And he did it that he could declare the wondrous works of the Lord. And he wants to continue to do it until he's old. And he wants to live on this earth long enough to pass down the things that he's learned to the generation that is with him and the one to come. And that he would teach the power of God to all those that are to come, that they would learn about those things. 1 Corinthians 16:13 declares this, Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, be strong. Watch ye, stand fast in the faith, quit ye like men, and be strong. Translated in just regular old Okie, act like men. Act like men. That's what quit ye like men means. Joab, the leader of Israel's army, David's right-hand man. If you study the life of David, you understand Joab was his right-hand man, the captain of the armies of Israel. And they were in a battle against two armies in array on each side. There was one, the Amorites, I believe it was the Amorites, and the Syrians. And he tells his mighty men, he says, be of good courage. In 2 Samuel 10 or 12, if you want to make a note of that. Be of good courage. Let us play the men for our people and for the cities of our God, and the Lord do that which seemeth good. So that's the kind of guy you want to go into battle with. Had two armies, one on each side. He divides them up and says, you take this side, I'll take this side. If they start to overcome you, I'll come help you. If they start to overcome me, you come help me. But we're going to stand right here for our people, for our women, for our children, for our cities. And he says, play the men. Play the man. And when he says, play the man, he's saying, here we are in this spot. What do men do? What are they expecting us to do? Back in the city, what are they expecting us to do here? They're expecting us to go to battle. And just because we have these two armies against us doesn't mean that that we can just cut and run or come up with a different plan. Here we are. So he says, play the men. Now, he's talking to some men that are going to die. But we got to do this. We got to do this for our city and for the people. And so we need to understand it, and we need to teach and realize that young men need to be men. And that's just the truth of the matter. Young men need to be men. And especially if a young man starts thinking about his future, you start thinking about what you're going to be or what you're going to do, and majorly especially if you start thinking about girls, it's time to be a man and start. You really can't be a man too quick. Somebody said, well, you need to be a child. I'm not saying put so much responsibility on a young man that he's out of his league. I'm not saying that. I'm not saying to take him completely out of that. I'm just saying begin to learn. I've told a lot of young men when that light comes on and all of a sudden girls aren't what they used to be. They're not so rough anymore. There's something different about them. That's not your sign to go get one. That's your sign to prepare, to be ready for one and to start working on that. And so that's the idea. Young men need to be men, especially if you want a wife and a life with a family and those kind of things, start to be a man. Prepare to be a leader spiritually. And to do that, you're going to have to learn the Word of God. You're going to have to know the things of the Lord. Prepare to lead financially. You got to make a living. It's amazing. You talk to girls, young girls, and you say, do you have a guy in mind or anything? I don't know any. They're all boys. They know it, but the boys, it takes a little while to get it. The girls know that they're still boys. But what do we need to do? Well, one thing, you need to learn how to take care of things. You need to learn how to handle your finances. That means you're going to have to work, and you're going to have to make a living, and you're going to have to learn how to manage those things. All those things come with being a man. You have to prepare to take responsibility. And anytime you get some money, it's not a video game you need. It's maybe you need to put some back. Maybe you need to learn how to do that. All those type of things. Start thinking that way as quick as you can. You can't do it too early. You just can't. You need to become a man. Learn to handle things. Learn to handle, as I said, your money, your own faith. Walking with the Lord. I have faith in God. I'm trusting God. Learn to live in that. Learn to take care of yourself. Sometimes, and I've seen this often, and I can't say that it wasn't a little bit aspect of me. My wife and I got married early, but sometimes women get married and they have to raise their husbands. Now, thankfully, my mom did a pretty good job of getting me up raised, but a lot of times that's part of the package deal. You got to raise them up. The women seem to be more mature a lot of times. It shouldn't be that way. The men ought to be able to do things and handle that, being a man. A great need in this area is we need older men who will pass along the principles of good and healthy manhood to the young men. That's the great need. The great need is for older men to pass along the principles of manhood to the younger men. Young men need older men. And I'm learning more in my life, and I've kind of discounted it over the years a lot. And I haven't always had close friends. Some preachers, you know, I'll be close to. Obviously, I love all you, and I trust and believe you love me. But you notice I don't really just hang out with the guys or anything and do things. I think I should have done it more in my life. And I think that we should be more together. And men need to be together to hold one another accountable, to teach each other, and to be around one another. Not that I want to hang out with you more than I do my wife. but a little bit, we need it. And especially this idea of passing things down, older men teaching the younger men to be the kind of men that they should be. We need men. Men need men in their life. Older men need to be intentional about it. We need to think about these things. We need to be intentional in investing in the younger men in our church. We need to intentionally do it. Love them. Teach them. Older men, show the younger men that you care about them. That you really care. There's men that care about me, and they can remember that. I was at a church when I was a kid, and it had an effect on me because they, just that much right there. You show them you care, it means the world. And young men don't just need advice and wisdom. They do. They need it. But that's not all. They need to see an example of the love of God displayed in the lives of the men that are around them. There are 1,000 wicked things coming at young men in our day from every single angle you can imagine. And it is different than in our day. It is different. And, I mean, there's so much information. So much of it so wicked. And there's so much coming at them trying to influence them. I'm not saying that we were any better and then that we weren't just as depraved and all that. But we didn't have a lot of the information coming at us. A lot of things pulling on us. And especially someone like me grew up in the middle of a little bitty town that you'd think he's in the country downtown. And we didn't have any of the stuff we have now. But they have so much stuff coming at them, so many influences pulling on them. And it's such a difficult time for a young man to grow up and try to keep his path right. Proverbs 27, notice here. And excuse my voice, I'm losing it. Proverbs 27. Deacon that deeks. Thank you, brother. Oh, good. Proverbs 27, notice verse 10. Thine own friend and thy father's friend, forsake not, neither go into thy brother's house in the day of thy calamity. For better is a neighbor that is near than a brother far off. Young men need friends. They need friends. Notice, father's friend. So, I mean, friends that are older. They need that too. And we don't think of, a lot of times older men, we don't think of the young guys as our friends. But we should. And they need that. They need friends that are their dad's age. A neighbor who is near. Notice that. A neighbor who is near. That's somebody that's close. Somebody that's around. That you know. To teach them. And so they don't have to just run to a family member. And I think the idea there is the brother may not be saved. And he may be somewhere else. You have to go there when you need something. But here you should have good influences around you. And we need to think about that and provide that. And what's the reason? To teach them about reproaches. Notice verse 11. My son, be wise and make my heart glad that I may answer him that reproacheth thee. About reproaches. Things that are going to bring trouble. Things that are going to cause shame in your life. You need to learn that. And you need older men, godly men, to tell you that. Teach them about prudence. How to avoid evil. Verse 12. A prudent man foreseeth evil and hideth himself. But the simple pass on and are punished. In other words, if you're just going to follow after evil like a bass on a lure, you're going to get hooked. And you need somebody to teach you what that is. Don't go this way, go that way. And that's what young men need. Take his garment that is surety for a stranger and take a pledge of him for a strange woman. In other words, the idea is this. You go ahead and take the surety. In other words, the person that is... this person that does a surety, he's going to lose what he's got. People act him foolishly. You need to learn that that's what it is. Somebody making a surety, they're going to mess up. Take pledge of him for a strange woman. People that go after a woman, make pledges, they're going to lose that pledge. It's going to be like they can't keep their word. And that's the idea. Take it. He's just saying it's going to happen. It's not going to work out. Things are going to be bad. Then you move on into verse 17. It says, iron sharpeneth iron. So a man sharpeneth the countenance of his friend. Just like iron sharpens iron, two men coming together, talking about the things of God, telling them, somebody you can talk to, tell them what's going on in your life, sharpens that one another. Each of you get stronger. Each of you get stronger and sharper, excuse me. And it sharpens the countenance of his friend. It helps you. It helps you along to have godly men for friends. Men need other men in their life, especially young men. Young men need to be encouraged that they can make it. You can do it. Where are they going to hear that? They need to hear it from other men. Other men that's been down the road a little bit. You can do it. You can make it. As I said, they have 1,000 different voices in their head speaking into their life every single day. Something coming at them that's just not right. Something that's trying to pull them away. How are they going to be able to withstand that? They need a steady voice. They need steady voices of godly men in their life. And the thing is, they need to hear things like this. You're not a failure. Quit thinking that you are. You're a child of the Lord. You're going to serve God. You're going to live for the Lord. You can do all things through Christ Jesus. Encouragement. Why? Because I'm a little older, been down the road. I made it. As much of a dummy as I am, you can do it. You can do it. I experienced it. And they need that encouragement. You need to tell them, hey, you're a man. You're a man. Be a man. Quit you like men. Act like a man. You can do this. And you can overcome. You can overcome everything through Christ. He'll bring you through. All things. All the things that life's going to throw at you, you can make it. You can do it. They need to hear that. Because I can tell you right now, I can imagine if I was a young man without any godly influence in my life in this society we're living in, I think there's just no hope. There's no hope to live for the Lord. There's no hope to try to be a good man. This world's just going to get me, going to gobble me up. But they need to hear that from other men. You can do this. With God on your side, you can make it. You can do all things through Christ. He can strengthen you. You're going to do this. And they need to hear a man say, hey, I've been through that. I've been through what you're going through. I made it. You can make it. You can do it. You can accomplish it. And it's going to get better. It's going to get better. Sometimes it don't feel like it's going to get better, does it? But they need to hear somebody that's on the other side saying, I made it through that. You're going to make it through that. It's going to get better. And I'll be there with you. I'm not going to forsake you. See, you're loved. You're loved. And God loves you. I love you. And I may be a generation or two ahead of you, but we're the same. You're a man, I'm a man. and we're the same. So I understand. And I may be ahead of you a little bit, but I understand. And I support you. I'm here for you. I love you. And you can do this. I tell you what, young men need to hear that. They need somebody to say that. You know, I'm on your side. You got some men on your side in your church that care about you and love you and will be there for you. It means the world. Notice back in our text in Psalm 71. Psalm 71. The psalmist says, O God, thou hast taught me from my youth, and hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. So I've learned the things of God, just like you young men are learning them in the house of God. That's what he's saying. From my youth, my parents taught me, the church taught me, and this time it was the temple they were learning. And hitherto have I declared thy wondrous works. I've proclaimed the truth of the things of God since I was young. Now also, when I am old and gray-headed, O God, forsake me not. What's he want from the Lord? Don't forsake me until I've showed thy strength unto this generation. I want all these people to know how you've brought me through. I want all these people to know that with God you can accomplish it. With God you can make it. You can do all things through Christ. You're more than a conqueror through the Lord Jesus Christ. And the Lord, keep me. Keep me until I can get this word out. I want to be an influence on the others that are around me. And thy power to everyone that is to come. All the people I can get to that are coming. If I can tell them and tell them about the power of God. What's so important about the power of God? That's how you're going to make it. That's how you're going to get through this world. It's not going to be by your power. It's going to be the power of God. And he's saying, I was young, I served the Lord. I proclaimed the things of God. Lord, let me stay around. What, for what purpose? So I can be an influence on other people. I know about you. I want to tell people. That's the principle I'm talking about. Those of us, those men that have walked away with the Lord, and you know some things about God, pass it down. Stop and talk to a young man. Go pick one of them up. Do something with them. Go take time. Love on them. Tell them you love them. Tell them you're there for them. Tell them you care. Tell them that you'll always be there for them, no matter what they need. That's what they need. They need that influence from men that have been down the road. Notice here, thy righteousness also. What's he want to teach them? The righteousness of God. What would we say about the righteousness of God? Listen, you need to understand at this young age that you don't really have any righteousness of your own. Don't get all self-righteous. You're going to have to learn to trust God. God is our righteousness. He stands for us. We have an advocate with the Father, Jesus Christ, the righteous. The righteous. And he says here, notice verse 19, O God is very high. Thy righteousness is very high. What? A high regard for the righteousness of God. Instilling it in them. That they have a high regard for the... God is what? He's holy. He's holy. What do? You never disrespect him. Not for one minute, ever. Don't disrespect God. Don't ever go against him. He's holy. He's perfect. He's right. Who has done great things. O God, who is like unto thee? There's none like God. That's the things that older men need to be teaching younger men. And by the way, this could be applied right here to older women teaching younger women. Same thing. We'll get to that. But we're talking about young men tonight. Thou which hast showed me great and sore troubles shalt quicken me again. Oh, valuable information. Lord showed me. He showed me great and sore troubles. You young man, you may not have been through quite that many great and sore troubles yet. But I have, and I can tell you, the Lord will quicken you again. He'll bring that spirit back to life in you. He'll get you through. He'll do it. And shall bring me up again from the depths of the earth. You may be having a hard time. And let me tell you, don't discount young men having a hard time, or young women having a hard time. I've heard older people say, you're too young to be depressed. You're too young to be stressed out. That's just not true. They have trouble just like everybody else. They may not have been through as many. They might not be quite as much pressure, but they can have it. It can happen. Things can happen in their life. And what do they need to know? The Lord will quicken you again. The Lord will bring you up from the depths of that. He'll pull you up. Say, how do you know? Well, because
did it about 15 times. He's done it. And He'll keep doing it. And He always does. Thou shalt increase my greatness and comfort me on every side. The Lord's going to increase you. He's going to comfort you. He's going to be there for you. I will also praise thee with the psaltery, even thy truth, O my God. Unto thee will I sing with a harp. O thou Holy One of Israel. In other words, you're going to get back to a place where you're just going to praise God and worship God. You say, I can't feel like that right now. Older man can tell a younger man, yeah, you will. You'll do it. You're going to make it. What an encouragement to know. Somebody else has been down the road. I don't even feel like that God's even there for me. I don't even feel like I can even worship Him. You will. You'll make it. You'll hang in there. Trust God. Don't stop trusting Him. Don't ever stop trusting Him, because He'll never let you down. Those are the type of things they need to hear. And you can go on and you can kind of pick up what we're talking about in that text. Men that have walked with God, encouraging men that are learning to walk with God. I've been there. Let me tell you how God helped me. Let me share it with you. Let me show you. Let me show you some scriptures that the Lord used in my life. I'm telling you, this is the type of thing we need to be doing with the young men. Stop and say, you got scriptures on your heart, and you would talk to another man your age about it and say, hey, boy, the Lord really dealt with my heart on this. Why not stop a young man? Let me tell you what the Lord did. Here's the scripture right here. And share it with him. You think they're not interested? You just stop and try it. They're very interested. And they want to hear. They want to know. And it's a major influence in their life. Let me show you scriptures that God has used in my life. Let me pray with you. I want to spend some time praying with the young men. And say, hey, just stop. Let's just stop and pray. What's on your heart? Is there something I can pray for you about? That type of influence, they'll never forget it. That's what we need to be doing. He's there. He's with you. He's not going to forsake you. He's never forsaken me. And He's not going to forsake you. And I'm not going to forsake you. By God's help, I'm going to be praying for you. I'm going to be there for you. And they know that there's men in their life that care that much. They could call them. They could reach out to them. And they're there like that. And let me show you the kind of prayers, the type of thing I think is a good counsel. Ephesians chapter 3. If you say, well, what is it that I need to counsel them with? How can I pray for them? Ephesians chapter 3 is a good place to start. Notice verse 13 of Ephesians 3. Just imagine talking to a young man and saying, I desire that you faint not at my tribulations for you, which is your glory. In other words, I go through things, you go through things. Let's don't give up. For this cause, I bow my knees unto the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Let's say the men in this church begin to take it serious. Maybe we write down a list of the young men in our church and we keep praying for them all the time. And then we can stop and tell them, here's the reason I pray for you. And here's the things I pray for you. And I just want you to know I'm praying for you. And here's the scriptures that I'm using to pray for you. I'm praying to the God whose whole family of heaven and earth is named. That's the one I'm praying to for you. And this is what I'm praying, that He would grant you according to the riches of His glory to be strengthened with might by His Spirit in the inner man. That something would happen, that God would come in you and instill in you a resolve, a faith that would be strong, and you'd never turn from the Lord. That's what I'm praying. And that Christ would dwell in your hearts by faith, and you'd be rooted and grounded in love. This is excellent. We don't have to wonder what to pray. We have it in the Word of God. Pray the Word of God, that you'd be rooted. You walk up to a young man, Calvin, my prayer is that you would be rooted and grounded in love, and that you would know Christ. That you'd know the Lord Jesus Christ, and you'd never turn from Him, and realize you can trust Him. Trust Him with all your heart. Don't lean into your own understanding. There's a lot of us older men. We know that scripture. We've lived it. We've held on to it with all of our life. And we've seen it's true. We could pass that down and say, hey, here's one right here you can trust. I know you trust them all. But lean not in your own understanding. But acknowledge Him in all your ways. And He shall direct your paths. And say, look, He directed my path through this. And all I had, I just trusted Him. And you can teach them that. And he says in verse 18, may be able to comprehend with all saints what is the breadth, the length, the depth, the height, and to know the love of Christ, which passeth knowledge, that you might be filled with all the fullness of God. See, that's something God's going to have to do in their life. You're going to pray for that and say, I'm praying for you that God's going to put something in you that you is past his understanding. You can't, the fullness of God, you can't really grasp it, but you can begin to see that you can't grasp it. And the more you grow, the more you learn, the more you really do know of him. And God can do that work amazingly. And I'm praying that he'll do that in your life. And that Christ will be so real to you and so important to you that every thought, every time you wake up every day, think about Christ. And that you would really realize that and know that that's what's important. And he goes on to say, verse 20, how encouraging. Now to him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. You say, what can I tell a young man? Tell him that God's able to do above, exceedingly above, way beyond anything you can imagine. He can do it. He can do it. And he's there and he loves you. And if he doesn't do it, then it's the right thing for him not to do it. His wisdom, you can trust it. And notice verse 21. I wouldn't leave something like this out. Unto him be glory in the church by Christ Jesus throughout all ages, world without end. Where is he receiving his glory? In the church. Stay in church. Stay in church. The Lord's glorified in the church. He's glorified in the work of the church. Be serving in the church. Be active. Be faithful. Don't quit going to church. Stay with the Lord that way. This type of counsel will teach young men how to pray, what to pray for, knowing that somebody's praying for them, older men being a friend to younger men. Young men don't need older men that are self-righteous men looking down on the younger generation and discounting them. One of the worst things we can do is say, oh, this younger generation today, they're just hopeless. I tell you what, I've been watching them and I just think it's just the worst. Really? That's the type of encouragement you have. What do you wonder why? Wonder why? Because there's no mentors. There's nobody reaching out. And so you're pointing the finger back at yourself when we talk like that. And you have a heart for them. And remember the scripture we've been going over and over, doing nothing through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, esteeming what? That younger brother better than yourself. Let's don't ever get this attitude. Those young people, they're just hopeless. I just been gripe and moan and groan about young people. Well, get in there and do something about it. Get in there and be a good influence. Set that example. Show that patience. Teach with patience. Older men can be firm, but they don't need to strive. They don't need to yell. They don't need to be rude. They don't need to insult. All that stuff's useless. But letting young men know that we're in it together. Being open, honest. Luke, I love you. I care about you. I want to see you do well. All of you. Every one of you. Young men, young women. And we need to be open. Say, hey, I'm concerned about you. You got a person right here that cares. I want to be in your life. I want to pray for you. I want to talk to you. I want to know what's going on. And look at this. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. What a piece of encouragement here. Notice this. You think about a young man in the day and time we're living in with all the temptations and all the things I'm talking about, all the influences coming into their life just as fast as they can. It's like having baseball thrown at their head. Notice 1 Corinthians 10:13. There hath no temptation taken you but such is common to man. Oh, what a relief that would be. There's nothing that you're tempted to do. There's no trouble that you cause yourself. You say, well, I'm terrible. You just don't know how bad I am. Well, guess what? There's no temptation taking you, but what? It's common. It's not strange. It's normal for sinful creatures to do that. You're not the first young man to ever have this problem. This is, and how do I know? Because God's Word tells me that. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you're able. You can do it. God's faithful. He's not going to allow you to be tempted above you're able. What's he going to do? He's going to make a way of escape that you may be able to bear it. So what do? Begin praying for the way out. Say, Lord, you're going to have to help me. And teach them young to trust the Lord, to look for that door. Look for the Lord to open a door. Look for the Lord to make a way. And they can look back after a few years and say, hey, the Lord opened those doors. The Lord made a way. I trusted God. And I didn't just beat my head against the wall. I was taught to trust Him. And He'll take care of it. He'll help me. He'll make a way through it. Now, some of the old preachers say you make a way out of no way. When you think there's just no way, well, they need to realize that he does that. And we don't start thinking with a worldly mind. We think, but we trust him by faith. Your temptations are common. Whatever a young man faces, it's not a strange thing. You're not the only one. There are older men who can testify that we've been down the road and we've been there and made it this far. You can make it too. We made it. You can make it. And the church is the best place. The church is the best place for this type of mentorship, this type of leadership, type of encouragement. And it isn't complicated. It's actually talk to them, pray with them, love on them. Tell them that you are praying for them, that you're there for them. Let them know that. Notice 1 John chapter 2, if you would. First John chapter 2, verse 13. 1 John chapter 2, verse 13. I write unto you, fathers, because you have known him that is from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you have overcome the wicked one. I write unto you, little children, because you have known the Father. Notice here you see that you have the fathers. They know the Lord. They've known him from the beginning. I write unto you, young men, because you've overcome the wicked one. What's that? You have faith. Faith overcomes. Based on the victory that overcomes the world. I write unto you, little children, because you've known the Father. So you know the Lord. I've written unto you, fathers, because you've known him. Again, he says it's from the beginning. I've written unto you, young men, because you're strong, and the word of God abideth in you, and ye have overcome the wicked one. The young man can do it. Young men can do it. Young men can do a lot more than older men if they're taught to trust God and to be able to do it. They're the ones that are strong, and they can be strong in the faith too. Sometimes a young person hasn't had enough doubts cast at them that they really trust the Lord. And they have all these influences. They have good influences. It'd be amazing what they can do. And notice what he goes on to tell them. This is the type of instruction they need. Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. Don't love this world. Don't love the things in this world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. What's that? Warning, warning, warning. Don't love the world. Don't do it. Somebody needs to be speaking that. Don't go after the world. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life. What's that? The desires of your fleshly nature. Is anything, a worldly person, is anything that they want, they go after it. They just want to have it. It doesn't matter if it's against God's law or against God's way or if it's bad for them or not. The lust of the eyes, whatever we can see, the first thing we think of is like men lusting after women or something. But it's more than that. We lust after all kinds of things. Whatever we can get our hands on. And here's the instruction. This is what the world is. Desires, lust, just whatever the world can throw at you, you go get it. Be careful, stop, because a lot of those things are going to end up in big trouble. And he says right here, in the pride of life, what's that mean? Proud of stuff. We got stuff, just things that don't really mean anything when this world's on fire one day. But we're proud of it today. Don't hold on too tight to the stuff. They need to learn that. They need to know that. There's only two things going to escape this world anyway. That's God's people and His Word. And if we get that right, it'll help a lot. And he goes on to tell us, if any man love the world, love the Father is not in him. And then he goes on to say in the end of verse 16, all these things are not of the Father, but they're of the world. And the world passeth away, and all these lusts pass away. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever. What instruction? Say you're a young man in a church, going along, and some of the older guys starts talking to you, and he says, you know, look at the scripture right here. You know, this world's going to pass away. All the things, all the lust, all the things of the world are going to pass away one day. But those that trust the Lord, those that live for God, they're going to abide forever. You need to know that. You need to remember that. Don't ever forget that. Because that's the ones that's going to abide forever. These are the things that matter. There's more important things in this world. It's actually out of this world, but there's more important things. The things of God are what's important. Most young men really want to be men. They want to, it's instilled in them. They want to be men. This is the foolishest thing, most foolish thing that's ever come down the pipe, telling us that men can be a girl, and you got men dressing up like girls and sporting events, and it's just the most wicked, most awful, not just a terrible thing that is sinful, but the destruction that it's bringing to these young men and women to be taught these kind of things. The truth is, if they're allowed to be what they are, they want to be a man. They want to be a man. What? I mean, just ask the toy companies. You go to the toy, they still got boy toys and girl toys. Why? Because that's the only way they're going to sell. Because when they're little, that's what they know. You have to be educated to become that stupid and to do those foolish things. You've got to be trained to go against God in that way. You really do. Because it's natural. They want to be a man. They want to be a man. Leave them in being a man. They want to be mature. They need guidance. That means that older men also need to be the kind of men that young men can emulate. So instead of not just saying we need to do these type of things, we need to be real when we do it. We need to be the kind of men they can see. They can see the way you live your life. And they know that you're not just trying to put on a show for them, because they can detect it. They can detect it. They know who's real deal and who's not. Well, how do we do it? Notice here, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. And I know I'm just kind of throwing thoughts out at you, but I think there's a lot of things to be gleaned, and you get the general idea of what we're talking about tonight. Paul says in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, he says, "Be ye followers of me, even as I also am of Christ." That's our mindset. We're trying to bring them along. Follow me. So I don't want to follow me, I want to follow the Lord. Yeah, but they need an example of the Lord. They need someone to show them who the Lord is. And that they can see that in a man. And in men in general, around them, the more the better. They need it. And so, be followers of me, even as I also am of Christ. And here's the context. Back in verse 32 of chapter 10. Give none offense, neither to the Jew, to the Gentile, nor to the church of God. I don't want to offend anybody. I just want to live for God. I don't want to be offensive. Even as I please all men in all things, what? Not seeking my own profit, but the profit of many, that they may be saved. What are you passing down? The very same thing we're talking about. Not thinking about yourself, but thinking about them. So then what will they do? Not be thinking about themselves, but thinking about others. And we pass it down. Christ likeness. We show it. We emulate it. They see it. We teach them. And they continue to do it. And we all young and old men, we have our example in the one example, and that's the Lord Jesus Christ. And that's who we're pointing them to. We're to be like Christ. We're to point them to Christ, a real man. And there's so many, you can tack on so many different phrases on it. A real man, blah, blah, blah. A real man is this. A real man do that. A real man is what this ought to be. But a real man is like Christ. He's the real man. A real man is like the Lord Jesus Christ. Never let the world define manhood for you. Never let the world define what it is. The world will mess you up every time trying to define what manhood is. Don't let them do it. The world's manhood is, and I'm going to be a little bit explicit here, the world's manhood is about exploiting women. The world's manhood is about immorality. The world's manhood is about being fierce and putting others down. The world's manhood is about sexuality outside of God's design, whatever you can conquer and accomplish. Worldly manhood is about a foul mouth. Worldly manhood is about selfishness and whatever I can get for myself, and I can just show you that I can just accomplish anything. I can climb the ladder no matter who I step on or what I have to do it. I'm going after it. The world will teach our young men that is about that quick if we don't get in there and teach them that that's the wrong path. And when a young man goes down a path like that, it's hard to reel it back in. Once you start heading down that path, it gets harder and harder to reel it back in. The older men need to take interest in the younger men. Keep them from that. Keep from that mindset. That idea. And it's so easy as a man, is it not? To think, that's the way. Fierce. Accomplish things on my own. I'm going to go after it. Anybody gets in my way, I'm going to knock them out of the way. And it's just that attitude is destructive. It'll take you away from Christ. It'll take you away from the Lord. Foul mouth, ugly hatred, and all those type of things. It's hard to reel it back in. We need to protect them, protect their hearts, protect them from that greedy spirit. What is the world? They're greedy. And I mean, it's in us too. You get it pulled out there in the world, you start being just like that. I just want to get everything I can get for me. Selfish and greedy, immoral, seeking after power, fame, all those things is not going to mean anything. And the life that brings is miserable. And you're never going to get, you think you're going to get to this place where everything's just great. Falling after the world and the things of the world and greedy, I'm going to get everything I want to get for me. And things that actually destroy your life. So we need to guide them. Teach them to respect authority. Tell you what, it's amazing. I'm not saying we were perfect back in my day, but I never seen some of the things you see now. I can't imagine if I talked to my mama the way some of these kids do now, or if I said something about a policeman, the way they treat the law enforcement, the way we disrespect our flag, our country, the church. And people just don't mind. They just say whatever they want to say. And if we let our children go that way, they can be influenced. We got to stop that. We have to teach them to respect authority. Because if you don't respect authority, you're going to have a lot of trouble. It just goes hand in hand. I don't respect authority. Well, authority is going to win. And you're going to end up in a lot of trouble. We need to learn to put God first. Seek first the kingdom of God and His righteousness. Everything else will fall into place. You got to seek the Lord. Trust God for everything. Obey His Word. Stay in the Word of God. Obey the Word. Serve in the church. Participate in the Great Commission. Like I said, I know I'm just throwing things out at you. But young men need to be taught. What do? We support mission work. We do things to get the gospel out. We need to involve the young men and the young women. Teach them that it's the church's job to take care of the Great Commission. It's not a small thing. It's what we do. Get the gospel out. That they can get the gospel out as well. They can share it. And we need to teach them to grow up to do those type of things. And to be passing these things down to others. So we'll go down and keep going and keep going. 2 Timothy chapter 2, we'll close there with this scripture. 2 Timothy chapter 2. And I think maybe 2 Timothy chapter 2, maybe chapter 4, has been some of the most powerful scriptures in my life. And I know it's because I'm a preacher as part of it, and it's to a preacher. But notice verse 1 in 2 Timothy 2. Thou therefore, my son, be strong in the grace that is in Christ Jesus. We need to teach young men to be strong in grace. They need to understand about the grace of God. There's nothing that you can't get anywhere until you get that. You need to understand. You need to be strong in the doctrine of grace. You need to be strong living in grace. You need to understand that it's grace. And the things that thou hast heard of me among many witnesses, the same commit thou to faithful men who shall be able to teach others also. You see the principle? We teach the things that we know to the men around us, the young men around us. So for what purpose? That they'll teach it to the ones around them. And it's passed down. And it's the responsibility of every Christian man to be an influence on the young generation. And to be an influence on the young men. And we'll talk about the young women too. We need to do that too. Right now we're thinking about men. And teach them to be men. And let me tell you, you may disagree with me. I don't know for sure. But I really feel like a young man needs to start thinking about being a man. They be a man. Not that I'm not saying they can't be playing and doing things, but they need to start being taught. Prepare for manhood. Prepare to serve the Lord. Be ready. You're going to be called on to be a man. You're not here to be something else. You're here to be a man. And we need to teach them and let them know that. How do we do it? Well, like I said, older men being there for the younger men. Letting them know you care about them. Praying for them, talking to them about the things of God, showing them Scripture, putting the principles that you know in your life at work into their life, and be there for them, passing it on down. I hope that's a blessing. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for your precious word, and we thank you for the psalmist, and his heart was that when he was older and gray-headed,